Hello, everybody. So this is a talk about Cripad. So maybe first question, who has used Cripad here? Like, okay, big room. So, and who doesn't know Cripad and wants to know more about it? Okay, good. Great. Perfect. So let's go. I'm Ludovic Dubost. I'm the CEO of the company XWiki that does Cripad. So XWiki is a company that does both a wiki software, XWiki, and builds also Cripad. So we have been started building Cripad for 10 years. So what is exactly Cripad? Well, Cripad is a document editor. So think like Google Docs. You have a lot of document editing where you will find PowerPoint, like equivalents to PowerPoint, Excel, Word, but also text pads, also rich text pad in HTML. You'll also find a whiteboard. But then you will have some additional features, which we'll talk about. But so one of the aspects is that it has all real-time editing. So that means you can edit with other people, like in Google Docs or like in Etherpad or in a few tools like that. We also have some additional features like calendars, Drive, Teams, which makes Cripad a full collaboration platform. But the most innovative and interesting part of Cripad is that it's end-to-end encrypted. So what does it exactly mean? It means your data will be protected. I'll get back to that to explain a bit how it works. So one of the key aspects of Cripad is that it will give you a familiar interface, so something that is easy to use. Like one of the assumptions we take is that if we want people to get off the big techs, we need to give them something simple. And if we're giving them encryption and security, it needs to come without too much cost in terms of understanding of the platform. It needs to be easy. Encryption and security tends to be complicated, okay? Like that it's difficult to understand, difficult what you need to do. And if we want people to use encryption and protect their data, we need to give them something simple. And Cripad is, of course, a full open source platform in AGP LV3. So Cripad has received 11 years of development, so we started 11 years ago, and you can also try it on Cripad FR. So anybody can start using Cripad right away. You go on Cripad FR, which is the flagship instance of Cripad. So we host it in the Cripad team, and you can start using Cripad, and it's extremely easy to start using Cripad. The only thing you need, you can just start without even creating an account. You click on one of these documents here on the link when you get to Cripad FR, and you get a collaborative document. And then you have a button, create a link to share it with people. So one very important thing, in order to keep the security of Cripad, if you create a sharing link using that way, using the link creation instead of the sharing through the Cripad platform, which requires people to register, if you share a link, share it using a secure platform. Otherwise, you're breaking the security of Cripad. So share it using Signal, Matrix, Element, so systems that are also encrypted. Don't send it by mail. If you send it by mail, you're taking a risk. If you absolutely need to send it by mail, you can add a password to the link, and you can give the password by text message, by phone, to the people that you're sending the link to. And in that case, you won't have broken the security. So what we believe is that you can get collaboration and privacy at the same time, that you can get both. And this is what we're trying to do with Cripad. So security by design, what does it exactly mean? So one of the problems with encryption is that everybody says that they're doing encryption. So if you ask Google, Google is encrypted. It's HTTPS, okay? Like, so HTTPS is encrypted. But what is very important is that, well, you always have an encryption between the user and the storage, but once it gets to the server, at that point, it becomes unencrypted again. So the internet is massively encrypted when it comes to the communication between a client and a server, but at the server level, it gets unencrypted. So what does it mean? It means admin can actually look at the data. Now, there is a second level that actually big tech say they use encryption for, that, we encrypt the disks. So we encrypt the disks, but in reality, the admins still have the keys to that disk. So the admins can still see the data. And so this ends up being a bit of encryption washing. Like, yeah, we do security. It's great. It's super secure. But in this system, admins can always see the data. With end-to-end encryption, so the word end-to-end is very important for those that don't know that word. It's very important. End-to-end means it's encrypted from the user to the system, and it stays encrypted there, and the admins don't have the key. So the key is owned by the users. Only the users have the key. The admins cannot look at the data. And that's what's happening with CryptPad. If you use CryptPad E4, if you create a document on CryptPad E4, we, the hosters of CryptPad, on CryptPad E4, that's us, or if you use another CryptPad server, the people managing that server cannot see your data. So what's important to understand is that encryption in itself is not enough. It really needs to, it needs to come with how the key management is done. And that is end-to-end encryption with good key management. So when you get to an encrypted platform, it's important to think about how the keys are managed. And so we should all favor end-to-end encrypted solutions because they really protect the data more. So systems like Signal, Element, CryptPad, or Proton. Proton is not fully open source, so Proton tends to show their source for the clients. They're not an open source platform because all the service system is not open source. So usually serious end-to-end encrypted platform always show the source of their client because you cannot prove that it actually does what it's supposed to do if nobody can look at the code. So open source for end-to-end encryption platform is actually critical. It's really important because people need to be able to audit the code to verify that it's actually doing what it promises to do. And one thing that is important to understand with end-to-end encryption is that it might come, and it comes usually with some loss of features. It's more complex to build all collaboration features using end-to-end encryption, so we need to be honest about it. But CryptPad is a proof that you can actually go quite far. So you can build quite a lot of collaboration features with end-to-end encryption when you put your mind to it. So when the big techs or when other companies say, no, we can't do it, no, they have the money to do it. If they wanted, they could do it. They just don't want to do it because they like to see the data. So CryptPad is about cryptography first, so I won't go too much into that because even myself, I don't fully understand it. So this is explaining how encryption works in CryptPad. So the key point in CryptPad, so when you create a document has a key. Every document in CryptPad will have a different key. So there's going to be a key for every document. And that's where the drive is very important. All your keys will be stored in your drive so that it's simple to use. So the drive acts like a wallet. A wallet where you put your keys, you put your cards basically, that gives you access to every document. And your drive itself is an encrypted document itself. And this drive is encrypted using your username and password. So if you use CryptPad, if tomorrow you decide to start using CryptPad, your username and password will never be known to us. They are your keys to the system. We cannot recover your data if you lose your username and password. So the combination of your username and password becomes your key using a secure algorithm called S-Crypt. And these two items are things that we don't know on our side, and we cannot help you recover if you lose them. So it's going to be super important for you to back this information up in a secure location. So in a password manager, on a paper in a safe, on a paper in an envelope somewhere in your home that nobody knows where it is. It's super important. Like, otherwise you risk losing your data. We cannot do anything for you if you're losing your data. Maybe in the future we'll allow you to give your keys to a group of friends which could recover them together for you in order to have a backup system, but today we don't have that type of feature. So if you lose your username password, you lose your data. This is by design, and if we were able to do it, then it would mean that we're not doing what we're saying we're doing. So it's encryption for all. The goal of CryptPad is really that anybody can use it. It should be familiar, it should be easy to use. So when you get to a drive, you click, you open a document, it's simple to use. So we also worked a lot on accessibility because we believe that it should be usable by anybody. So it's not easy to make platforms like CryptPad fully accessible, because all the editing tools are quite complex in terms of how to use them, because it's not only about viewing and reading documents, it's about writing them, so it adds a level of complexity. But we've did quite a lot of work also with the help of NLNet funding that and giving us free audits in order to improve the accessibility of the platform. So this is something we're continuing to try to do. The quote is actually the result of an audit. So that we have a system that's quite accessible already. So what happened in 2025? So first, the main thing we know on how to measure if CryptPad is liked and loved by people is people using it. So the first thing is that we have 2,000 instances. So 2,000 people have installed the CryptPad server. For these servers, we don't really know how many people are using them. Like they're just independent servers. And you have on CryptPad, if you go to CryptPad.org, there is a free instance list. So you can have free instance lists that are managed independently by people in different countries. The way it's hosted is mentioned. We cannot vouch for them, for these instances. It's important because we don't know who's handling the instances. So and there's still the level of trust that you need to have with the hoster, is that while the hoster cannot see the data, the hoster could hack the code and modify the code and then steal your data. So it's still important to have some level of trust with your hoster. CryptPad is not here to protect you from malicious users. It's protecting you to what we call in security, what is called in security, honest but curious. That means you could be curious, but you're honest. So you're not going to try to see the data. You're not going to hack to see the data. You're going to decide. You're going to be honest. You're not going to be tempted to see the data. And it's like basically the idea that if the data is visible, then people will read it. So I'll speed up a bit. So 2.5 to 3 million pads every month are read on our CryptPad flagship instance. So the CryptPad flagship instance is the most used instance in the world, we believe. There's like 60,000 people having accounts and using them every month. 100,000 people using forms. I didn't mention forms at this point. We also have a survey system which allow people to protect the answers of survey, and that's heavily used. It's very heavily used in the internet. We have 7,000 rich text documents, 500,000 per month office documents that are open. This is a registration curve. You can see over the last 30 days, it's growing quite a lot. And the reason it's growing quite a lot is that in 2005, we've been growing a lot in the US. So you can try to guess why it's growing in the US. And in the last 60 days, it has almost double usage in the US. And the reason is that activists need to protect their data to communicate with other activists. And that's, in particular, the form system is heavily used by activists to put in contact with other activists. And in the last 60 days, we got huge usage in the US, which is very sad in some way, but which makes us also very proud that we are helping these activists. 2,000 instances, and we have these stats about which pads are being used. So heavy form usages. We have a lot of NGOs. Even the UN has used CryptPad this year for form. And it actually, what's very interesting with the form is that it brings us 100,000 users per month, which in many cases, probably a vast majority of these people don't know CryptPad, because it's other people that are sending them the pad. And it makes people aware that there are alternatives to GAFAMs and to big techs, and that you can actually run forms with another system than Google Forms. We have worked on UI UX this year. We have redesigned a few components. There is a generic, there is a regular complaint that we could be better in terms of design and look and feel in CryptPad. So we're working on it. We're making improvements. So we have made improvements to the look and feel across the board. In the last few years, we tried to focus more on the UX, user experience, so how the boxes are designed and what message we're giving to the people, than on the look itself. Now we're also going towards the look, and we're trying to work on this, and we still have plans to make more improvements. So that's the new icons that we just put, that we put in place in the last few months. This is how we evolved the trees. So, I mean, it doesn't look that much, but it gives a different feeling to people, and it improves the look and feel, which is important for people to love the tool. Another thing that we developed, and that is interesting for developers at FOSDEM, is that we created an API. So CryptPad can also be used using that API by other tools that are that could encrypt documents and use CryptPad as a document editor. So that would allow to use a capacity of CryptPad, which is to edit 10 types of documents using encryption systems and integrate it with other encrypted system, with other end-to-end encrypted system. So if you're a developer and you find that interesting, go check it out. It's been funded by French funding. So we also developed CryptPad Cloud. So for an organization that wants to run its own instance separately from CryptPad E4, but doesn't want to run it itself, they can go to our cloud, and we have paying services there, and it's also a source of revenue for us. Some other works is that we have upgraded OnlyOffice. We made lots of fixes. We also experimented with post-quantum cryptography, which is something we'll need to do in the future. It's not yet urgent, but and it's still there are a few problems with it. It's not so easy to integrate in a tool like CryptPad. It needs to stay performant, but this is something we've been working on. And the German security agency BSI made a security audit of CryptPad, which has been quite useful also to us to understand if we have security issues. So they found a few things, not anything critical, but that are still interesting to improve the security of CryptPad. So some information of finance. So CryptPad has open finances. If you go to our blog, you can find our finances. We haven't yet published the blog for 2025, which basically is going to be this information, but we have the information for 2024. So we have 9 people that are working on CryptPad. Overall, it costs between 600 and 700K a year, because I believe, so the reason we're doing open finance is that the how you fund open source is an overlooked issue. It is something that is actually quite difficult. And I'm running a company paying people doing open source, and I'm very focused on how can I pay these people. And so for CryptPad, this is our objective is how can we build open source, be sustainable, and pay people every month. And not think about, okay, how are we going to find the next paycheck for the people? So we have 9 people working on CryptPad, costing between 600 and 700K. Being inside XWiki SIS, which is a 70-people company that is already sustainable on the XWiki software that we sell to businesses, gives us financial stability. That's actually quite important for the team. But it's still challenging to fund the project. CryptPad is not a break-even project. It's currently mainly funded with research. Till 2024, so last year, we were at 80% is research funding. So only 20% is money that we get from actual users of the software. 80% we need to go to people to get it, like asking the European community, can you give us money? Asking NLNet, can you give us money? Asking France, can you give us money because this is good software? And so one of the things we realized is that we also had, we need to sell. So we could sell to users, we could sell to companies. Now we saw that for CryptPad, the best path was going to B2C, like consumers themselves can fund the software. Signal has managed to get funding from their users. We believe that CryptPad can do the same, and we choose to prioritize that revenue. So one of the things that if you want to donate for CryptPad, to CryptPad, you can do it. We have an open collective to participate to that funding. I'm not going to spend too much time on that because there's a lot of numbers, but these are all our numbers. So in 2025, and including our budget for the next year, so how we hope to be funded. So what you can see here, that 25 is funded, is basically we finished at minus 12K. That's not too bad. Still 12K missing, but that's fine. Getting most of the money from research, 30% of the recurring revenue, 30% is recurring revenue from customers now. And that has been big progress because we moved from 17% to 30%. That has been a big progress. The reason is that we did 50% growth on the subscription on CryptPad FR and on donation, both together. So 80%, we have 150K coming from subscription and donation. 80% of it is subscriptions, 20% donations. But they have both grown by 50% in 2025. We hope to do 50% next year, which is quite challenging. It's not that easy. Like Trump is helping us a lot to grow because we have revenue from the US, and that's great. But we know, well, let's hope that Trump will stop helping us grow, but that users will do help us grow. But we, if we count on these 50%, well, you can see it's 26 is still funded because we still have a very big French research project. But if you look at 27, 28, we're not there yet. Like even with 50% growth, if we don't find some extra funding, we won't be able to sustain the same team that we have today. So we will still need to find funding. I'm not worried. We can find it. So one thing with this information is to make understand also that users have a very important role to play in helping the platforms be funded. If we want open source platform, we need to fund them as users. So we need to contribute to it. We can't get everything for free. So now to finish what's coming. So one of the things is that we hope to grow 50% on CryptoDeFi. The biggest difficulty when it comes to growing CryptoDeFi is that to grow paying users, we actually also need to grow free users. We give 1 gigabyte for free on CryptoDeFi. That's quite a lot. We have 400,000 free users. We have 1,500 subscribers. So if we want 3,000 subscribers, well, if we get the same conversion rate, we need 800,000 free users. Well, today the platform is already at maximum capacity, not because of hosting, not because of the capacity of the machines, because of the capacity of the software. So that's why we're working on a scalable server. We've been happy that NLNet accepted to fund it through NGI Commons. So we got a funding for that. And we hope to launch this before the end of the first semester because we absolutely need it. Otherwise, the platform will go down. CryptPad nodes, integrating BlockNode in CryptPad is something that we will integrate. We'll also try to continue to work on UI, UX, and on mobile. There's one of the biggest requests from our users, be better on mobile. It's not simple to be highly performant on mobile. Mobile behaves differently than desktops. When it comes to memory management, it tends to cut the connection, reload the pages, and that's more expensive for us, and that's more problematic. The good news is that we also asked for funding with the project NextGraph. I think NextGraph has a dev room tomorrow with on local first software, two dev rooms. No, yeah, and we're going to work with them and start doing some level of federation between CryptPad servers. So it's going to be a start towards federation, collaborating with the NextGraph team. Their technology is super interesting. It's still new, but it's going to be interesting to integrate it. And we got funding from the European community together. It got announced yesterday, so that's actually completely fresh news. Has changed our budget. Like, our budgets would be way more red if we didn't have that project. And now to finish, well, the message I want to give is the data is precious. We need to protect our data. So CryptPad does offer an alternative to GAFAM software, to Microsoft Office 365, or to Google Workspace. It's encrypted, but it's still easy to use. Give it a try if you haven't. I mean, if you think that open source platforms cannot be easy to use, you're wrong. They can be. And we have lots of users of CryptPad. They are not techies. They are writers, lawyers, and they're using it. And because it's a platform that is easy to use, which in addition protects your data. And another message is, we have CryptPad Forms. CryptPad Form is an incredible tool to protect data when you do surveys. Actually, nobody should be doing surveys with Google Forms. This is forcing people to go to an unsecure platform, to a company that tends to look at every data. And so, your users didn't make the decision to go to Google. They should make the decision if they want to go to Google or to something else. With CryptPad, you're sending them to a place where the data is not exposed. So you're much safer there. And actually, this is actually how a lot of activists and a lot of people are helping us, that sometimes on Twitter, LinkedIn, and so on, when people send out a Google form to answer a survey, you get people say, why are you using Google form when you have CryptPad that is free? That's how we got the UN using a form. They had a Microsoft form. Somebody said, I don't understand. You're making a survey about sovereignty, and you're sending people to Microsoft. How is that possible? Like, it's not possible. Like, you can't do that. And CryptPad is free. And so, Well, if we all participate like that and send and expose people that are actually sending people to platforms that are insecure, we'll get more people that will use open source and use secure software. And another message is that we still need your help to get to financial stability. We will need to grow the revenue. We hope to grow it through growing free users that pay. But if we actually get more people that pay for the same number of free users, then obviously we will be in a better shape and we will be able to hire. So we still need your help for that. So and I want to thank you for listening to me. I didn't leave any time for questions, or maybe like
one question.
Yep. And yes.
So, two questions.
So you can choose.
The presentation, I found it very great. Just wanted to say that open source is like indeed open source machine also, because as you pointed out, the distributed source code must correspond to the deployed one. On this, we cannot check unless we deploy. And then, obvious question, and I'm going to like everybody to play with it. So everybody be prepared. So I am blank. So I'm talking about this from this point of view. And you briefly mentioned accessibility. So I have two questions on that. What is your level of conformance to WCAG? Do you have, do you know about blind people being comfortable using a CrudePad? And second, this is basically inside of the browser, right?
Yes.
And the second question is, how easy is it to use CrudePad outside of the browser? And more specifically, does your API provide fine-grained access to the editing features, or is it like just you can like download the document but you cannot edit it through the API?
Okay, so I need to repeat the question, and I really don't have a lot of time. So the first question, so I forgot the first question.
WCAG.
Yeah, so I don't want to say too much wrong stuff. So I think we have documents on the internet. So the best would be to find the actual reports. I think it's level one. We're going to level one, and we got a decent percentage. The problem of the CrudePad platform is that it has 10 editors. So, I mean, it really depends on every editor. So when you get to Office documents, it's a different story than you get to WYSIWYG. So it's difficult to answer. So I don't want to say that we're greatly accessible. I don't think that's the case. I think we're really doing our best with the funding we have. We're trying to get funding to do it, but it's difficult. It's difficult to work on that. I'd like to point to the documents on the internet. Then there was a question about blind people. We don't have too much knowledge on our side. We don't have too many contacts, so I cannot really answer that question. In terms of API, we don't have an API for developers. What we have is an API for developers of apps. We have an API for developers of apps. So if you have an app that manages document, you can embed CrudePad. So it's an API to embed CrudePad. So you have a CrudePad server. You can send the document to CrudePad, make it editable, and embed it as an iframe in your own software. So you get access to the editing features of CrudePad. Actually, the other type of API that you might think about is one where programmatically you can access the content of documents, read and write. That is actually something that we don't have that easily. This is one of the difficulties with end-to-end encryption. We need a lot of code on the client side in order to make APIs. And for some documents, it's super complicated. So we have done some experiments with command line tools to connect to CrudePad. So for example, we have some command line tools where you can create a rich text editor. But we don't have one that can create an Office document. And the problem is that it's very difficult to actually interact with the actual content when you don't have the editor. So for purely command line API, it's much more complex work. We're trying to work on it, but it's a lot of work.
Thank you, Ludovic.
That's it. Thank you. And thank you. And let's say that you applauded all the team of CrudePad that is working on it. Thank you.
Thank you.